Have you ever noticed how many people seem to be metaphorically drunk on the millennium? You go back to the early 1800s and you have a broad range of people that are seeking to time the approaching terror and the turmoil of the tribulation correlated with the second coming by correlating current events with biblical prophecy. And they're forever trying to pin the tail on the Antichrist. On the cultic fringe, you have people like Mormon founder Joseph Smith, who was propagating the notion that his generation was living in the very shadow of Christ's return. Joseph Smith alleged that God told him the return of Christ would take place before he, Joseph Smith, was 85 years of age. Of course, that didn't happen. In more mainstream premillennial circles, the gifted Baptist orator, his name was William Miller, was circulating the conclusion that his generation was living on the very edge of the millennium. In fact, in 1831, he publicly identified the year of Christ's return as 1843. How'd he do it? Well, he used millennial mathematics. He calculated a day in prophetic parlance as equivalent to a year in prophetic history. And so he thought, well, according to Daniel 8, exactly 2,300 days after Artaxerxes' decree, the millennium would commence. Does that sound a little bit like Jack Van Impe today? 19th-century historic premillennialists use millennial mathematics not only to date the time of Christ's descent, but also determine details like the time of Antichrist's demise. And then in 1831, you have Darby. He adds a unique twist to the dating game by introducing the concept of a secret coming 7 years prior to a second coming, and said that one could determine the time of Christ's second coming after the time of Christ's secret coming. And later dispensationalists like LaHaye found a variety of new rules to ensure that the dating game could be played on and on, so he demonstrated this idea of forwarding a notion that the generation who heard the Austrian declaration of war, World War I in 1914, would not pass away before Christ's second coming. So you have the people in the past content to be spectators to unfolding events, timing the events, but today's brand is bent on ensuring that these events become a self-fulfilling prophecy. And the problem is, if the evangelical death march towards the end time of Armageddon can be subverted, it's going to be because believers recommit themselves to faithful illumination. In other words, what I'm saying is it will be because believers recommit themselves to faithful exegesis, which is to mine what the Spirit has breathed into Scripture as opposed to reading our own predilections into the text. Look, sudden flashes of intuition or inspiration are poor substitutes for the scrupulous study of the Word of God. We must pray that the Holy Spirit gives us clear minds and open hearts as we dig into His Word. That means a willingness to sacrifice treasured tradition on the altar of biblical fidelity. It means learning to read the Bible for all it's worth. Ultimately, it means turning away from sensationalism and marching undeterred towards reading the Bible, studying the Bible, being intoxicated with the Word of God again, instead of turning on the television and being titillated by the sensationalists. We are dragging Christ's name through the mud. And we need to get back to the Bible. It's critical.